Tick tock. We are days away from NFL's Black Monday, which means the New York Giants head coaching search is starting to heat up. There were a few reports that all dropped at the same time this morning. We got a lot of information about the Giants putting together a short list and a couple of the names that could be on that list as Black Monday approaches. There are a lot of different head coaching jobs that could become available. The Browns have been floated out there. We're going to talk about Kevin Stefanski. If he's relieved of his duties over in Cleveland, well, one insider said he's an ideal fit for the New York Giants. There's another dark horse candidate that just got added to the mix by Jordan Rannan of ESPN over in Houston that we're really excited about and want to discuss. And then there was more information revealed today about Joe Shane's involvement on the Giants head coaching search and what his role could look like, because even though he's expected back in 2026, there's a chance he's not back as the general manager and he could move into a different role. Very interesting stuff there. So a lot to dive into today. Guys, I hope you all have a very happy and blessed new year. Be safe tonight, have fun tonight, and all of that good stuff. This is Fireside Giants. I'm your co-host Anthony Rivardo, and I'm joined by my co-host Alex Wilson. And Alex, how are you doing today, my friend? Are you happy for the new year? And also, what are your thoughts on some of the news that we heard about the Giants head coaching search this morning?
Yeah, I'm hyped for the new year, man. I mean, it's 2025 was challenging, to say the least, but also learned a lot in the process. And the Giants are hopefully learning a thing or two about how not to run a bad organization. And they seem to not learn those valuable lessons. But nonetheless, we're hoping they can find a head coach that can put us in the right direction. But Anthony, you mentioned it. There's some new candidates emerging out of the woodwork here. And guys that are pretty intriguing, to say the least. You know, we talked a lot about the Shulas of the world and the Halfleys, the guys that don't have much head coaching, if not at all, experience. But some of the guys that might be available have tons of it. So I'm excited to kind of dive into the new names that are emerging and would they be good fits for us?
Me too, absolutely, as you caught me amidst my coffee sip there. But let's talk about some of these names. Actually, let's start with the Joe Shane news, because I feel like that's very important to kind of unpack before we talk about who's on the Giants head coach searching list. Let's talk about who's making this candidate shortlist, and that's Joe Shane. And there was a report this morning from Josina Anderson. And Josina Anderson, Alex, actually reported that the New York Giants have nailed down a shortlist for their head coaching job, meaning they have a list of names and some guys that they are starting to put together and schedule some interviews with. I'll read this report exactly from Josina. She said, quote, "I'm told the Giants have their initial list of head coaching candidates set to interview after converging notes internally per league source, obviously pending shifts around the league, upcoming game outcomes, and time until in-person meetings can create modifications," end quote there. But a very interesting report from Josina Anderson. And adding on to that, somebody responded to this report and asked, "Do you feel like Joe Shane will be involved in the process?" She said, "Yes, Joe Shane is still involved in the search process." And then she added, "Shane's connections and league compass is helpful to ownership right now. Mara is going through a lot simultaneously, but Shane may still pull off a Nick Caserio." She'll explain that later. She's on the phone now, but we don't have to wait for Josina Anderson to finish her phone call to explain, because that's what you got me for. I'm here to explain what she means by that. Alex, that Nick Caserio kind of reference there in the report, very interesting. Now, here's what I wrote on Twitter in response to kind of add some context for some fans. In 2023, Nick Caserio ran the Houston Texans head coaching search, but stated that he was, quote, "not bound to a position," end quote, and would be willing to step aside or change roles if the best head coach required their own hand-picked general manager. It's also worth noting, still, Nick Caserio remains the executive VP and general manager for the Texans. He did not change his role, but he did say that he was open to changing his role because it was all about doing, quote, "what's best for the organization," end quote. So, looking at this, if you're comparing that situation to the one here with Joe Shane, Alex, could you see a scenario play out where Joe Shane begins the search process, interviews some of these candidates, but then the number one candidate that ownership wants to hire says, "Hey, this is who I want to be my general manager. His name is not Joe Shane. Bring him in as the GM or I don't take this job." And then potentially Joe Shane steps into a different role in the front office. Do you think that's a realistic possibility? Because that seems to be what Josina Anderson was hinting at.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when it comes to Joe Shane, the big difference here between him and Nick Caserio is simple. I don't think that Joe Shane does what's best for the organization all the time. You know, Caserio clearly wanted to do what was best for the team, whether it be stepping aside, whether it be stepping into a different role. I don't get the sense that Joe Shane does that for this organization. I think he's actually a little selfish, a little all the time. And the one primary example that I will throw into the mix here is the firing of Brian Daboll, right? Brian Daboll needed to be fired. He needed to be. But Joe Shane wasn't going to do it. He basically took the blame and threw it at ownership and said, it wasn't my decision. It was out of my hands, right? If he was willing to do what was best for the organization, Brian Daboll probably wouldn't have been the head coach this year at all. They probably would have already had a new head coach. But no, Joe Shane opted to defend his friend instead of his employer. And I don't get the sense that he's exactly going to be sitting around trying to do what's best for the organization when he's on the hot seat, right? Like, why would it be in his best interest to try and step aside or even float that he's on the hot seat and then to go out and try to say, tell ownership, hey, like, if the new you know, head coach wants to come in and wants a new general manager, someone that's not myself, like, I'm willing to do whatever. Like, I doubt he's doing that. He's kind of proven to be a little selfish at times. Now, with that being said, the head coaches that could become available, like, well, I'll throw out the name Kevin Stefanski. Anthony, if Stefanski came here and interviewed and said, I want my GM. I want a guy that aligns with my beliefs, because to be fair, the Browns have screwed Stefanski. Like, Barry and Stefanski don't get along. Like, they do not see eye to eye on roster construction. And in any case, the Browns have an elite defense, straight up elite defense. And their offense, while inconsistent, has had horrific quarterbacks over the last couple of years. I mean, Sanders has looked okay at times, and we'll see what his future looks like. But, I mean, they had Jameis Winston last year, who, you know, for what it's worth, was solid at times. But they had Joe Flacco before him. And they had Dylan Gabriel starting this year. Like, what are we talking about? Like, Stefanski's been given just misfit toys on offense to work with. The defense, however, he's coached into being a fantastic unit. Am I advocating for Stefanski to be a primary option for the Giants? Not necessarily, but I don't think that he gets the right rap. I think people look down upon him because of the situation with the Browns, but man, that roster, their GM, that whole communication line is compromised. And I wonder what would happen if he had his own guy, someone that he trusted he had good synergy with. I don't think that would be Joe Shane, though.
It might not be, but I think that's a really interesting way to pivot the conversation, not necessarily focusing just on Joe Shane, but moving to these head coaching candidates that we want to discuss. If we're talking about Joe Shane potentially stepping into a different role because a head coach wants to bring in a general manager, that obviously connects to Stefanski, like you just mentioned, because Stefanski clearly is not on the same page as Andrew Berry over the general manager with the Cleveland Browns, but Stefanski is a proven good head coach. He's a two-time NFL Coach of the Year. One of the things we talk about a lot, Alex, we've been discussing so much this season in particular, a head coach needs to hire good coordinators, right? That is of the utmost importance. That's the number one lesson that all Giants fans should have learned from this season, watching Brian Daboll's coaching staff collapse underneath him. Shane Bowen was a terrible hiring. Mike Kafka, not the worst hiring. I think he's been, you know, hit or miss as the interim HC and as the OC, but we've just learned the lesson here. Assistant coaches really do matter. Kevin Stefanski, well, in 2023, Alex, who did he hire? Jim Schwartz. And Jim Schwartz in 2023, NFL Assistant Coach of the Year. That's the defensive coordinator that's running that elite Cleveland Browns defense, getting the most out of course, Myles Garrett, but all of the other chess pieces on the defensive side of the ball for Cleveland. Credit to Andrew Berry for building such a great defense with so much talent, but also credit to Kevin Stefanski for hiring an experienced elite defensive coordinator to run that unit. That's not the easiest thing in the world to do as a head coach, to bring in a DC like that. And Alex, let's imagine a world where the Browns do move on from Kevin Stefanski, and Stefanski comes over, brings his offensive playbook, and brings Jim Schwartz with him to run that defense. Imagine Brian Burns in this defense that's being run by the guy getting the absolute best out of Myles Garrett. Jim Schwartz, I mean, he is a proven elite defensive play caller. This Giants defense, I believe, would go probably from worst to first overnight if Jim Schwartz was running it. So I have a lot of positive feelings about the Kevin Stefanski potential hiring, but let's kind of dive into the good and the bad here, Alex. There are some fans who don't want Kevin Stefanski, who don't think he's a good fit. They don't want a retread who's failed in recent seasons with Cleveland, but I know you definitely have more thoughts on this, that maybe these failures that Stefanski has had in recent years weren't necessarily all his fault. Like you said, he had the Deshaun Watson situation kind of forced upon him. They had the weirdness of drafting Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders in this year's draft. They really never fixed the quarterback position for him. But we're talking about a head coach that I believe it was in 2023 took the Browns to the playoffs despite having five different quarterbacks start games that season, including a 38-year-old Joe Flacco going into the postseason. This guy's got a reputation for finding ways to win. He just hasn't had a quarterback to win with, despite always getting the most out of every quarterback he's been handed, dating back to his long tenure with the Minnesota Vikings, where he got the absolute best out of Case Keenum, Kirk Cousins. And fun fact on Kevin Stefanski, he was with the Minnesota Vikings for so long. I think he started there in 2007, didn't leave until 2020 when he became the head coach of the Browns. That means he was there all the way back during the Brett Favre era of the Minnesota Vikings. The guy has been working with great quarterbacks and turning bad quarterbacks into great quarterbacks throughout the entirety of his career. This might be the perfect candidate who's got head coaching experience, playoff coaching experience, coach of the year experience, hiring elite coordinators experience, and a potential label as a quarterback developer. I see the draw for the New York Giants to want to pair Kevin Stefanski with Jackson Dart and whoever Stefanski hires as DC with this defense. So a lot of pros there, but again, I know that there's going to be pushback from fans. There are negatives as well, Alex. Let me kind of hear your take on Kevin Stefanski at large as one of the top candidates for the New York Giants and why you think there are pros and cons to hiring him.
Look, Stefanski, this is a coach who he's known for his ability to raise the floor of pretty average quarterbacks, right? Like, you remember Baker Mayfield, like what he did for Baker. You remember Kirk Cousins. You remember Joe Flacco, you mentioned. He's never had a quarterback quite like Jackson Dart, though. And I think that's the kind of interesting point here. His scheme is very much rhythm-based, and I traditionally think that his system is built for a pocket passer, but he's never had a quarterback like Dart. So I think that the system that he actually would have in place relies on rhythm, timing, you know, just receivers being in the right place at the right time, you know, hitting a lot of those crossing routes. Like, his system is actually built to maximize quarterback efficiency, but the quarterbacks he's always worked with have never had the kind of style that Dart has. Like, he likes to go off script. He likes to have design runs. He likes to get, you know, have RPOs. But one thing I do think would be a perfect match: Stefanski loves play action, loves it. And if you had a good running game with Scadaboo and Tyrone Tracy, offensive line, you know, maybe improve a piece or two there, bring back Illuminor, we'll see what happens. But you have that play action style that Stefanski loves with Jackson Dart, it's going to open up your whole offense, right? You're going to have the screen game, you're going to have the design quarterback runs, you're going to have the runs, you're going to have, you know, crossing routes over the middle, you have bootlegs. It's going to be just full of deception. And Dart's best when he's a little bit off script, deceptive, able to make decisions on the fly. And play action really, like, bodes well for Dart's style of play. And Stefanski loves to play that style. So I think that that would be interesting. But also, it protects, like, his system is known to be a bit safe, which I do think is good for Jackson Dart because he takes a lot of unnecessary risks, takes a lot of unnecessary hits. This structure around him would be a lot more predicated on him throwing the ball and not having to always be aggressive with his legs. I think that's what Brian Daboll's system really lacked, was that structure. It was a lot of, all right, Dart, just do whatever you have to do to move the football, no matter what it takes or how many hits you take. There was a lot of, like, missing pieces to it. It was a lot of boomer bust. It was big, like, literally it was like, we're gonna have a big play or we're not gonna have a play at all. Stefanski's a lot more methodical with his offense, and I think that if he was able to add the layers of designed runs, you know, the way they can use Dart in the red zone in different ways like that, his system would be really, really good because it would elevate his floor as a passer. But if you could add the layers to maximize his running capabilities, you're talking about a perfect marriage. And we're talking about the offense right now. We're not even talking about what, obviously, Jim Schwartz and that defense would be able to do, which would be unbelievable, like, just straight up awesome. So, you know, I do think that Stefanski, low-key, if he was to come out, immediately becomes a top three option for me. Not because of his work with quarterbacks, but because he's going to bring, as you mentioned, really, really, really good coordinators with him, and he has experience. However, Joe Shane could step in the way of that. Joe Shane could be the roadblock. Listen, Stefanski has a winning pedigree. He's just in a garbage organization. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem right now. I do think that he, with a second life, a second leg, with a better quarterback like Dart, could have a really, really bright future. And, you know, that's someone I would be really interested to see what he would have to say in an interview.
Yeah, and I think he checks a lot of the boxes for the Giants, you know, wanting somebody who can be a CEO, who's overseeing the entire program, hired really good defensive coordinators despite being offensive-minded. He can be a play caller, but this year he wasn't a play caller, so he checks that box. He checks the box of experience for sure. I mean, he's been the head coach of the Browns for, what is it, 5 seasons now? He's a 2-time coach of the year, so he's got experience. Like you said, he's got winning pedigree. But some of the cons, though, because again, some fans are not going to like the idea of Kevin Stefanski. Why is that? Well, the Browns have been really bad, and he's not completely innocent here, right? He has made some poor decisions. His play calling really kind of fizzled out in recent years to the point where he actually gave up play calling this season. And as much as we just praised his defensive coordinator hirings, Alex, he's had some really good ones. Well, offensively, not that great. Alex Van Pelt from 2020 to 2023, but then he went with Ken Dorsey, who was one and done after the 2024 season, and Tommy Reese was hired as the passing game coordinator this year, and now he's taken over the play calling duties as Kevin Stefanski's offense, like I said, has really fizzled out. So his play calling has honestly regressed, has kind of fallen to the wayside. His offense has just kind of gotten worse year to year, and so you question, as a fan, you might question, like, the success of the Browns in recent seasons, the minimal success that they've had, has it been more credited to Stefanski's coaching or Jim Schwartz's coaching of the defense? You know, that is a question. And Stefanski, like I said, he's had some question marks about his game management. He's had some question marks about his play calling. So he's not a perfect candidate by any means. But like I said, he does check a lot of the boxes that you want for a New York Giants head coach. And I do think it's interesting that this report of Stefanski came out today indicating the Giants might view him as an ideal fit if he is relieved by the Cleveland Browns. Same day that we get a report indicating Joe Shane might step down as the general manager and allow the top head coach to pick their own general manager, which I think we need to dive back into, Alex. I don't know if we spent enough time on that topic before we get into our other dark horse candidate here. This Joe Shane thing is so interesting to me. We hear all this about how the ownership and organization loves him. They feel like he modernized their football operations and they want him to be the GM. But at the same time, there's now this indication that instead of being the general manager, could he be a VP of football ops? Could he fit into a different role? Could he go into scouting? Whatever it is, he might not be the general manager depending on who the Giants hire as the head coach. Why I think this is good news for the Giants and for Giants fans is it kind of lessens my biggest fear going into this hiring cycle. My biggest fear was the Giants are going to have some candidates who are very interested in this job that were going to say no because they don't want to work under a lame duck general manager, a general manager with 1 year left on his contract and who's on the hot seat. A lot of head coaches probably say no thank you to that job because of the shaky ground that the GM is standing on. But if those head coaches are told you can bring in your own GM and effectively demote Joe Shane, well, then it eliminates that fear. It eliminates that risk of hiring a head coach who's now attached to a lame duck GM. So again, I just think it eliminates that fear and kind of eases some of that pressure and tension and makes the job more attractive to the top head coach, whoever that is. So I think that getting this report out there, I think the Giants are probably doing this through Jacina Anderson, getting the report out there that, hey, Joe Shane's helping us do the head coaching search, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be your general manager. Could be up to you, potential top head coaching candidate. I think that's really important to kind of quell some of those fears that some of the top candidates might have about joining a team with a lame duck general manager.
Yeah, and I'll throw something out there that maybe you could push back on if you see fit, but I would argue that the head coach at times can be more important than the general manager. You could look at some of the best coaches ever. I mean, let's look at Bill Belichick, for example. I mean, I know he was the GM towards the end of his career, but you look at what a great head coach can do. The Patriots never drafted that well. Like, they had some good drafts, of course. But if you look at their drafts, like, it was just Bill Belichick making nobodies, turning nobodies into somebodies the whole time. I mean, how many guys did we get from the freaking Patriots that ended up becoming nobodies? Nate Solder comes to mind, right? Like, sure. You just think about good head coaches turn average talent into above average talent. And I think that's the difference here is, like, sometimes, you know, the GM's important, obviously, and I'd love to have a good GM, no doubt about it. But the head coach is really the product. You're seeing the actual product on the football field and what they look like in a disciplined system. So I don't know. Sometimes I feel like the head coach can be even more important.
I think the best way that I can kind of build on that is the best head coaches work very closely with the general managers to handpick guys that fit the scheme. I don't think there was that level of synergy between Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, evidenced by the selections of guys like Jalin Hyatt, who clearly did not fit Brian Daboll's scheme, or Deonte Banks, who clearly was not a fit for what the Giants wanted to do defensively long term. So I think that synergy is lacking, that continuity is lacking. But if you get a head coach who works really closely with the general manager, yeah, the head coach could be more important because they'll have more say in who's being acquired from a player personnel standpoint, and they will have a vision on how that player is going to fit into the scheme and how to maximize them, develop them, and get the most out of them. We've seen the Giants putting square pegs in the round holes for far too long. That's something we wanted to end when Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were hired. It's something that's persisted throughout this tenure of Joe Shane. So hopefully a new GM and head coach have more synergy, no more square pegs in the round holes. Instead, that head coach just gets the guys with the general manager and puts them in position to succeed. Now, who could that head coach be? Let's talk about one other name before we wrap up this episode, Alex. Jordan Rannan of ESPN reported that Matt Burke is a guy that the Giants have on their shortlist. This is a dark horse candidate. This is the defensive coordinator of the best defense in football, the Houston Texans. I know you're kind of a big fan of his, Alex, and fun fact here, he does have a connection to the New York Giants coaching staff. What is it? Charlie Bolin, interim defensive coordinator for the New York Giants, used to be an assistant linebackers coach under Burke with the Miami Dolphins about almost a decade ago at this point, but that is a valuable connection, and that could be a continuity piece potentially if the Giants were to hire this guy as the head coach. Well, Charlie Bolin might remain the DC or in some capacity with the organization. So what are your opinions on Burke? You know, what are your thoughts on him? And I know you really like his style of defense. Let me hear some more of your insight on kind of the scheme that he would put into place.
Yeah, so Burke is an interesting candidate. I wouldn't label him like a top three candidate, but I'd say he's probably just on the outside of that. Like, you may look at a guy like Jesse Minter or Halfley as a better option, but Burke, he's up there. And the reason I think he's up there is because he has an identity, right? His identity on defense is running that 4-3 attack mode style defense. He lets those pass rushers do damage, right? He's not a heavy blitzer. I think he's only blitzing at a 22.6% rate this season, which is slightly below average, but he doesn't need to blitz. Like, his front four, we're not dropping them into coverage anymore, Shane Bowen. We're actually rushing our passers, and we're running stunts, and we're running different styles of pass rush to open up opportunities. Bolin seemed to have learned a thing or two from Burke, because he's doing a lot of that lately, actually. Dropping them off a little bit from the line of scrimmage, and then running stunts and twists and turns, and that's a lot of what Burke likes to do, so
there's some really good schematic overlap there, because now that we've seen what works and what doesn't work with this Giants defense, you know, kind of post the firing of Shane Bowen, Charlie Bolin stepped in, taken a lot of those concepts and elements of the Burke defense, applied it here with this Giants defense, and immediately Brian Burns is back to getting sacks and tantalizing quarterbacks. We've got Abdul Carter looking like the stud number three overall pick we expected him to look like when we drafted him there. You know, we've seen this pass rush get after it in that four-man rush, but creative four-man rush with the stunts and all the things that you're describing here, dropping off the line of scrimmage but still attacking from a two-point stance. Those are Burke concepts. D'Amico Ryan's now, of course, running that with Burke, but those are Burke concepts that Charlie Bolin is running. So you see great schematic overlap where, let's say the Giants did hire Burke, you could feel pretty good about that front four that the Giants have really being maximized, similar to how they are with Bolin, but probably ramping that up even further and just watching these guys get after the quarterback. It would be fun to watch.
It would be, and, you know, I'll create another connection for you. Burke, you want to know what tree he went through? The Jim Schwartz tree. So you kind of find Stefanski, you look, okay, well, Jim Schwartz, you can't get Jim Schwartz, the next best guy is Burke. So, you know, you kind of look at that lineage. You also going through the D'Amico Ryan's tree now, who's from the Shanahan tree. Like, you really just see how important that tree is. You know what I mean? Like, people talk about the Shanahan tree, the McVay tree. I don't think people truly understand how important those trees are. Like, you need to have guys from those lineages oftentimes to have success. You just got to keep plucking them and keep testing and keep seeing, like, which one's going to hit. Eventually, we can find one that hits. The Giants got to throw a dart, pun intended, at one of those trees, at a McVay tree or at a Shanahan tree. You know, one of those guys is going to end up panning out. I like Burke. I just don't know what he's like as a head coach setting. I don't know. He seems to be kind of a bulldog type of guy, like a lot more disciplinary. I just hope he's not like an Aaron Glenn type of disciplinary and more of like a, you know, in between where people respect him for his actual schematics and his intelligence. But he may lack offensive overlap. And that may be where the Giants get a little bit thrown off, because the identity of his is like that classic Giants pass rush, like JPP and Strahan and OC and Tuck. Like, he's going to bring that back. Like, a guy like this will bring that type of identity back. But you need to have a knockout offensive coordinator. Your OC has to be unbelievable. So if you're Burke, like, he's got to come in with a short list of OCs. Like, this guy is the perfect guy for Jackson Dart, and here's why. So if he doesn't have that answer, unfortunately, I just can't move forward with that process, because you need to know who's going to be Jackson Dart's right-hand man. Otherwise, how on earth can you possibly hand the keys to somebody?
Yeah, I actually read that Matt Burke is described as a calm educator. He's actually disciplined,
for sure.
He has a master's
or something? Does he have a...
I think he is a highly educated, like, yeah.
I think I read that somewhere, which is great, because, like, you know, he's extremely smart.
He played at an Ivy League school, so, I mean, he's smart. And, again, like I said, he's described as being very calm and having an analytical approach. So he's a forward-thinking guy, and I think those kind of guys who have very successful elite units but have that unique, calm approach that is forward-thinking, progressive, using analytics, it's very analytically driven. Those are guys that usually project well into those head coaching trees and positions. So, you know, when you're talking about the Shanahan tree and all of this, I want to fall back on that discussion, because no more Belichick tree, right? Giants have gone to the Belichick tree way too many times. Brian Daboll is part of the Belichick tree. Joe Judge was part of the Belichick tree. No more of that. I'm totally with you. Get me somebody from that Shanahan tree, from that McVay tree, somewhere from there. Stefanski actually comes from the Kubiak tree. So does Clint Kubiak, of course.
It's a fine
tree. The Kubiak tree has been pretty good.
So that's a good tree, man.
Give me one of those trees. There are some really, you know, if we're gardening, you, on one side you've got the Kubiak trees, the Shanahan trees, you know, the McVay trees, and on the other side, this is the scary part of the forest here. You ever seen that meme where it's like the pretty part of the forest, the scary part of the forest?
Yeah,
this
yeah.
Got the Belichick, the McDermott tree. Don't give me anybody from the McDermott tree. No Joe Brady or nothing like that. You know, there's some scary trees out there, but the Giants need to get better at gardening, pick from the right trees, and get a good head coach this time around.
Yeah, look at you using analogies and stuff like I usually do. So,
I know. I'm like, you know, I'm metaphors. Like mini Alex here, you know?
No. You're definitely not. You argue with me way too much to be mini Alex.
That's true. And I don't make nearly as many cringeworthy dad jokes as you do.
True. I mean, I am a dad now, so like that does play. But I've been doing those for quite a long time before I was a father. So, you know, that's, you know.
You've been doing those for 6 years now. So.
Yeah. I'm just more holy. I'm more of a holy father now than I was. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot to like about the different trees out there, man. You got oaks, and you got this tree, you got birch, all sorts.
Oh, here we go.
So you started it, man. But listen, Stefanski is an interesting one. I know people will be in the comments like, no. But like, if you liked Halfley, if you like Jesse Minter, if you like... Stefanski's no worse than any of those guys, and he has years of experience. So it's like, you know, I wouldn't hate that move. I do think the Giants, I think that taking a shot at a new guy with not that much experience is something that they can do. But as we've been talking about this for a couple weeks now, it's probably in their best interest to get someone with a bit of experience. Most likely, that's the most logical move. And if Mike McCarthy is the only option that has experience, you're not in a good spot, because you want to have competition. You want to have options. Stefanski, I mean, he just coached this whole year, and his defense was elite. And his offense has been at, what, three different quarterbacks? You know what I mean? Like, four? Like, you can't really – and plus the communication with Andrew Barry. It's hard to sit here and act like Stefanski was given a clean bill of goods and, like, asked to win. His players were bad. Like, the talent on offense was not great, and especially at quarterback, and his offensive line fell apart too. So I do kind of feel as though he got a little bit of a raw deal, and maybe the Giants would be a salvaging opportunity. So interesting one. Maybe one we'll have to dive into a bit more and do a little bit more research. But his system does fit Jackson Dart in terms of protecting him, asking him to throw the ball, and then adding layers to it. But his OC pick would have to be very, very, very forward-thinking. It would, honestly, I wouldn't even hate Stefanski and then like keeping Kafka as OC just for the familiarity. And then I know it's not your favorite thing, but it's an option. And then at DC, you bring Jim Schwartz in and you keep Charlie Bullen as your assistant. Not a bad lineage. Like, not a bad, you know, you have guys there that are now elevating through the system that are familiar with your team.
I've heard worse. And I think what's important to highlight there is you pretty easily mapped out a head coaching staff for Stefanski that is realistic and good. And that's not easy to do for any of these candidates. But with Stefanski, you can see it pretty clearly because he does have that experience. And something similar with Mike McCarthy. But you made a really good point there. The Giants want a guy with experience. Mike McCarthy right now is the only guy available who has experience that they might be interested in. That's why we're hoping a Stefanski, a Tomlin, a Harbaugh, one of these other head coaches that has experience is available so that we can create some competition there between these experienced head coaches. This is a great point that you made. So I know that's something a lot of Giants fans want, an experienced head coach. That's why they're so attracted to McCarthy. Well, here's another one that might be added to the mix. That's Kevin Stefanski. But also, we're going to be keeping an eye on Tomlin, if he shakes free, on John Harbaugh, if he shakes free, and anybody else. Even Mike McDaniel, I think, is worth having a discussion about, Alex, because he might shake free on Monday. You know, the Miami Dolphins were really close to moving on from him midseason. All of a sudden, that team just rallied behind Mike McDaniel, and they stayed competitive despite having really bad quarterback play and a lot of problems all over their roster. So definitely someone to talk about there. I know he's probably not a favorite for Giants fans, but an interesting name that might be available out of the head coaching candidates who are experienced in that role. So it's really starting to heat up now. We're very close to that Black Monday, and that's when that head coaching carousel is going to start spinning, and we're really excited to cover that. And every minute detail will be covered right here on Fireside Giants. So make sure to leave a like if you enjoyed, subscribe to the channel if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode, and comment your thoughts down below in the comment section. Listen to Apple or Spotify, leave us a 5-star review, and go ahead and follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. Without further ado, we'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one. Let's go New York Giants, and Happy New Year. Perfect.